Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM 92.5 FM WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Like the dude just said, we are indeed solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, we're going to the phones right now. My friend Matt Clark from the Alabama Center for Law and Liberty is here with us. He's actually in D.C. today, and he's going to give us a breakdown of some things that have occurred today in the Supreme Court arguments, and also discuss some things that are happening in the world of vaccine mandate litigation that I talked about just a little while ago, and specifically maybe about his case with United Launch Alliance. That being said, let me go to the phones. My friend Matt Clark, how are you, my friend?
Hey, Bill, I'm doing pretty well out here in D.C., about a block away from the Supreme Court, and I got my better half with me, so we're doing really well. How are you?
I'm good, man. Outstanding. Well, thank you for calling in, especially with your favorite groupie right there with you. Listen, Matt, you're up there with a whole bunch of other conservative jurists who are, working the issues right now. And apparently it got a little spicy at the Supreme Court today. I've even got one article here that says that Justices Breyer and Kavanaugh sort of traded some barbs from the bench. Tell me what you're thinking right now about the Supreme Court. And by the way, you wrote a great piece. I read it in 1819 News today, talking about your predictions. You're of the mind that Roe could be overturned. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Last year I spent a good amount of time trying to study the views of each of the six conservative-leaning justices on the court to try to get a prediction of whether they would be in a position to overrule Roe if properly asked. And I concluded that all six conservative-leaning justices, including Roberts, probably would go along with it. After hearing oral arguments today, I'm not as sold about Roberts. I think he might go along with it, but as far as the other five conservatives go, I think we do have five votes to say that Roe was improperly decided, there's no right to an abortion in the Constitution, and therefore it's left to the states and the people.
Well, so Matt, and I hope your prediction's right. I want to make sure that the listeners are clear. The Mississippi law that we're talking about, which I believe is called Dobbs v. Jackson Healthcare Center, Jackson Healthcare Center being the only abortion clinic remaining in the state of Mississippi, that particular case turns on whether or not the state has a right to limit abortions past 15 weeks, which is considered by the abortion rights folks to be an infringement or to be in some way causing an undue burden. That being said, when they went up and appealed the merits of the law itself, my understanding is that Mississippi specifically asked in their briefs for the Supreme Court to reconsider Roe altogether. Is that correct?
Pretty much. So the analysis got a little bit more complicated than that. So when you take a case to the U.S. Supreme Court, you have two stages. The first is what we call the cert stage. It's when you file your petition for a writ of certiorari or cert in short. And the question presented there was whether all bans on abortion before the baby gets viable are unconstitutional. And the Supreme Court agreed to hear that case. So once it granted certiorari on that question, that's when Mississippi said, no, all bans on pre-viability abortions are not unconstitutional. And the reason is there's no right to an abortion in the Constitution. Of course, the big impediment to that is Roe versus Wade and his progeny. And they said, yep. But those decisions were very badly decided, and it's time to overrule it. So that's how they got to asking the full court to throw out Roe.
Okay. Well, did you actually get to listen to the arguments today yourself?
Yes.
Well, and I know for guys like you, that's like going to the Super Bowl, really.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Give me your perspective. I mean, how and I want the kind of the unvarnished objective basis. I mean, both sides have smart lawyers. How did they do, in your opinion, in terms of presenting their cases? Was one side stronger than the other, or are they both equally strong, and now it's up to the justices just to determine?
No, I think Mississippi's attorneys did better. I think, the Mississippi Solicitor General, I think he played his cards very, very well. I think he was counting the votes on the court. He knew how the justices thought. And at the end of the day, what it really came down to were two things. Number one, there is simply no right to an abortion in the Constitution. And then second, the bigger obstacle, and I'm sure some of the listeners are aware of this, is not necessarily whether Roe was rightly decided or not, but whether, as a matter of stare decisis, we ought to leave that decision alone, or whether this is a case where it should be overruled, despite the fact that it's precedent. And, you know, for, as I was listening to him, I think that's where most of the argument on both sides lay. But it seems to me that the five most conservative leading justices, that's Thomas, Alito, Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, and Barrett, they all seem to me to be convinced, you know, based on what I was seeing, that, yep, we ought to throw Roe out. So I think that's what's going to happen. On the other side, I will say, I think the attorney for the abortion clinic probably made the best case that she could under the circumstances, although I'm glad I think she's going to lose. But there's really no question that I think we have a majority of justices on the Supreme Court now that think Roe was wrongly decided. So the Mississippi, the abortion clinic attorney hung her entire hat on the doctrine of stare decisis. And she fought about as hard as she could, but I don't think she's got the justices convinced.
Okay, and just to refresh our listeners who are not attorneys, and I said this earlier in the show, the doctrine of stare decisis is basically that you rely upon previous case precedent as being controlling. And so if there's a previous case, not a statute, not a constitutional provision or an amendment, but if you have a prior case ruling, the stare decisis says you rely upon that ruling, but those rulings can be overturned, reversed, and that's what we're hoping for here in terms of Roe. Well, Matt, this is going to be interesting. And so here's the thing, Matt. You pointed out also in the piece you wrote for 1819 News that we're not going to know for a while. I mean, it's going to be likely June before we actually hear the decision of the justices, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. So the way the Supreme Court usually works is that it usually saves its most controversial opinions until June. And a lot of that is because there's so much debate that goes back and forth during the justices after they decide who writes the opinion, and, you know, different drafts go back and forth. They spend a lot of time fighting it out. So that's why we will likely see this opinion come in June. So I would say the thing to be doing in the meantime is just to be praying for the justices, because, you know, like in football, if you want an ice kicker who has the opportunity to make an easy field goal, what do? You keep calling timeouts, you give him plenty of time to think about it, and then you get inside his head, and then all of a sudden he misses what should be a gimme, right? Well, it's kind of the same way at the court, where if you give him too much time to think about it, that could, you know, all it takes is flipping one or two justices, and then the case goes the other way.
Well, and I think that some of the history that we've seen, and we don't always know, because what they do is they let the audience know, the justices are going to go into a back room here, into executive session, basically, and they're going to talk amongst themselves and take a preliminary vote, and they're going to let each other know kind of where they stand today. And we don't know what happens in that, because those are not a matter of record for us to review in same detail as an actual ruling. That's for their determination or deliberations. However, the kind of the inside word is that, like, for instance, on the Obamacare ruling, was that Chief Justice Roberts had voted with the conservative majority and then flipped his vote later. Am I correct?
Yeah, that it's been widely speculated that that's exactly what happened. You know, when the Supreme Court heard oral argument in Planned Parenthood versus Casey, they were counting the votes, and it looked like Kennedy was solidly in our corner. But, you know, in those 6 months between when they took the initial vote and when the opinion was released, Kennedy appeared to change his mind, and he came out the other way.
Well, I guess we'll wait and see. Hey, listen, Matt. Yeah. We've got to take a quick break right now. Can you hang on? I want to talk to you about United Launch Alliance and vaccine mandate cases. You good with that?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, folks. Listen, we're with Matt Clark with the Alabama Center for Law and Liberty. He's a constitutional scholar, a lawyer who is fighting the battle on things like personal liberties and freedom from federal overreach. And we're going to go to a break right now. Kelsey, you can kick that music up. And when we get back, we'll talk with him. Lord, Kelsey. When we get back, we'll talk with him about how we see this going forward with cases against the federal government regarding vaccine mandates. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back. It's Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Going back to the phones right now with our friend Matt Clark, who's obviously walking down the street somewhere in our nation's capital. Hey, listen, Matt, let me switch gears on you. So you gave us your spin on where you think we're going on the Supreme Court arguments today for the Mississippi abortion law case. Let's switch gears now and talk about vaccine mandates. You've got two major cases of your own going right now, one of which is with United Launch Alliance. And I know you did get a ruling yesterday on the preliminary injunction request that didn't go your way, but talk about the case for a minute.
Sure, absolutely. So we're representing five United Launch Alliance employees, and we're suing not only on their behalf, but we're trying to bring a class action on behalf of everybody that works there who has either religious or medical objections to getting vaccinated. I've tried to seek an accommodation and been turned down by ULA. So, you know, all of our clients got, you know, rejection letters when they apply for an accommodation. And yet, when United Launch Alliance put out a public statement, they said, well, only 1% of our employees are unvaccinated. And so, you know, that left us scratching our head saying, okay, well, if it's only 1% of your employees, why can't you accommodate them? This seems like a pretty easy thing to do. So instead of having them get fired and lose their jobs, lose their pensions, lose their insurance, and everything else along that comes with that, we decided to fight back and see what we could do for them.
Well, and so the judge denied the request for preliminary injunction. Am I correct?
Yeah, that's right. So, yeah, for the listeners, you know, a preliminary injunction is what you ask for while the litigation is going on. As I'm sure a lot of your listeners know, litigation takes time. You know, sometimes from the time you file a complaint to the time you get a final judgment, it can be a year, 2 years, 3 years, something like that. So a preliminary injunction says, hey, judge, while we're fighting this out, we want you to order the other guys not to fire these employees. This is not a permanent decision. This is not the ultimate decision on the merits, but we just want you to enter a temporary order saying, while you're fighting this out, you can't fire these people. And unfortunately, the judge did not see things our way. He declined to issue that ruling. And right now, we're trying to examine our options. We're considering an appeal, and we also have opportunities both with the federal EEOC and the State Department of Labor that you know, could get our clients some relief.
And that's the thing that, you know, last night I had a guy who is not an attorney, who thinks he's an attorney, trying to tell me why that preliminary injunction meant everything in this case. And it really doesn't. That's not the merits of the case. That's also not the final result in terms of preliminary action that can be taken on behalf of your clients. And it certainly doesn't address the fact that you have a case that is going to go forward on its own merits, regardless of whether or not the preliminary injunction is actually granted. That being said, Matt, you've also got the fact that, okay, I know that the Sixth Circuit is now handling, I believe they're handling the OSHA mandates, the one on 100-plus employees. All of those have been consolidated into one circuit. Not the same on all the other mandates, but we have a ruling that I sent you a link to or a picture of just a little while ago that seems to indicate that just north of our borders in Tennessee, federal contractors are being treated somewhat differently by the courts, and they did get their preliminary injunction request granted in Tennessee.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So, you know, we're encouraged to see that around the country, so far challenges to Biden's vaccine mandates appear to be working. You know, right before the OSHA case got transferred to the Sixth Circuit, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit, which sits over Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, stayed the mandate, saying, look, you know, because this looks so bad, we're not going to let OSHA put this rule into effect. And right now, despite the fact that the case has been transferred, that stay is still in place. So in plain English, Biden is already losing on the vaccine mandate for businesses with 100 employees or more. And then a couple days ago, there was another federal judge out of Louisiana that issued a nationwide injunction blocking Biden from mandating vaccines for healthcare workers. So that applied not only to the parties in that case, but to everybody in the country. And then, as you pointed out today, we got news about Biden's vaccine mandate for federal contractors getting blocked in federal court, too. So as I'm looking at this, you know, Biden is batting 0-for-3 right now in these major vaccine cases. So things are not going his way, and I don't expect them to go his way by the time the cases are wrapped up.
I did a segment right before you came on the air where I talked about that very thing, and I outlined some of those same cases you're discussing, some of which actually were being fought on behalf of the state of Alabama by Attorney General Steve Marshall. But that being said, I think you're right. I think the Biden administration is definitely on the ropes. I'm still encouraged, despite the lack of a preliminary injunction in your case. I'm still encouraged by the trends we're seeing in other districts that I think are going to wind up having to bear weight. Even though I believe, I'm not mistaken, I think your judge is Judge Callan. I'm pretty sure he's an Obama appointee, which probably leans somewhat more liberal in his rulings. But nonetheless, I think that eventually he's going to realize that the overwhelming weight of jurisprudence is going to wind up going against rulings like the one he just issued yesterday.
Well, thanks. I certainly hope so. You are correct that he's an Obama appointee. I think you're correct, though, at the end of the day, because, you know, what federal courts tend to do if a challenge gets brought to them, a lot of the times they look around the country to see what's going on in similar cases. And right now, I mean, Biden is losing just about everywhere. So, you know, I certainly hope that, you know, Judge Callan, by the time, you know, this case wraps up, we'll have a change of heart, and, you know, we'll do our best to try to make that happen. And, you know, even if he, you know, remains committed to the way he's thinking right now, you know, the EEOC could still give her clients relief. The Alabama Department of Labor could, and possibly we could take it up and appeal to the 11th Circuit. So we still have some good options. And I am very encouraged by the fact that a lot of these mandate challenges are going our way. So that's encouraging.
I agree. Well, listen, Matt, I know you're up there in the nation's capital making the rounds, and you've got some more things to go to still yet today, maybe this evening. But you guys have a great trip. Be safe, and we'll have you back on the air when you come back soon and see if we have any updates. All right?
All right. Thank you so much, Phil.
All right. That's Matt Clark from the Alabama Center for Law and Liberty. If you're not familiar with them, go check them out, their website, lawandliberty.org, allawandliberty.org, I believe it is. And you'll see, and by the way, Matt wrote a great piece about the Supreme Court case today that's on 1819news.com. I'd encourage you to check that out too, 1819news.com. And you'll see, actually see a picture of Matt. You can put a face with the name. But all said and done, folks, it's been a huge day for jurisprudence. It's been a huge day for constitutional liberties. It's been a huge day for the rule of law. It's been a huge week, really, for the question of whether or not states have sovereignty and the ability to make their own decisions occasionally. Because right now what you have is an administration that is determined, absolutely determined, to prove to the world that they're the only ones who know how to make decisions for you. And yet they take into no kind of account whether or not individual citizens in this nation, I don't know, can maybe make their own decisions once in a while, or that states, for that matter, have a sovereign right or a say in a federal republic to be able to govern within their own borders. And you're going to see a pushback in a big, big way. And understand that what may happen in this Roe v. Wade type case we've got right now, the one the Supreme Court just heard today, it may not do away with Roe. What it may actually do is to say states can decide. If that's the case, I'm telling you right now, Mississippi, Alabama, and quite a few others are going to wind up being abortion-free. And states like New York and California may just cling on to it. But states have a right to decide. All right, well, I know we're headed towards a break here, but folks, I'm just telling you, it's been a big, big day. And when we come back, I'm going to do a little bit more on that. I want to give you a few more things to think about, and then we'll move on to our next topic, which is pretty fascinating. Who's fact-checking the fact-checkers? How do we know that Twitter, Facebook, even Wikipedia, for that matter, can be trusted? I don't know that they can at all. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We will be right back.